Hi, I'm Joe.
And I'm Dave.
And we're the hosts of the Chasing Tomorrow podcast, where we bring you stories that delve into the science and spirit behind intriguing people doing extraordinary things.
Welcome to the Chasing Tomorrow podcast. This week, it's episode 45. This week, we have 39-year-old Alexander Sorokin. Now, if you don't know who Alexander is, and you're a runner, you've been hiding under a rock. Alexander is hands down the world's best ultra marathoner. And it was pretty rad that I was able to just send him a text and get him on today's show and really introduce him to a lot of our North American guests or our listeners. So let me tell you a little bit about Alexander. And just the next minute of what you're about to hear is going to blow your socks off. So Alexander in 2019 won the World 24-Hour Championships in 7.3 kilometers. In 2017, he broke onto the ultra running scene, winning the Spartathlon. He was the winner there in 2017. And just last weekend, on Saturday in the United Kingdom, he ended up setting 3 world records. He ended up breaking the world records for 100 miles, running 11 hours and 14 minutes and 56 seconds. Yeah, I'm going to say that again. 11 hours, 14 minutes and 56 seconds. That makes my legs hurt just sitting here. He ended up setting the world record as well too, 150 kilometers, 10 hours, 27 minutes and 48 seconds. And after he was done 100 miles, he wasn't done there. He wanted to go break the 12-hour record as well too by running 09 kilometers, running 12 hours. It's absolutely spectacular what this guy just did. And he is spending the next hour with us, telling us all about those races and really about himself. Now, also alongside Alexander, we have Alexander's brother, Maxim, joining us from Denmark. Now, Alexander says he doesn't speak great English. I think he speaks amazing English. But anytime that we need a translator, Maxim's going to be here to join us to help him out along with translating. So without further ado, welcome to the Chasing Tomorrow podcast, Alexander.
Good day, everybody.
Yeah, Alexander, great to have you on. And we hope you're recovering well from last weekend. I'm sure you're still feeling some of the effects of running that kind of speed for that kind of time. You know, what I'm going to just make a statement, then we'll go back and talk a little bit about your history. What I'd love to get into a little bit later on is, you know, you're pushing down the amount of time it takes to run 100 miles down to this 11:14. You know, can we break 11 hours one day? We'll ask that question in a little while. But before we ask that question, you know, since we don't really know your background a lot, and when you find someone who's breaking world records, you know, we see the end of the story, but we'd love to hear the beginning. So if you wouldn't mind, tell us a little bit about, you know, your sort of journey to running. You know, did you run in high school? Were you a, you know, post-high school runner? Or just did you find it later on in life and realize how fantastic you really are? Anything you could tell us would be great.
So I'll just transfer here. So he started picking up running at when he was 32. Before that, he was doing kayak sprinting. So flat water kayaking. His father is a coach. So until when he was 23 years old, he was doing kayak sprinting.
Wow. So good fitness, but not a lot of running early on. Okay, keep going.
Потом был перерыв без спорта, и причина, по которой я начал бегать, это я очень набрал вес, и я весил около 100 килограмм. Знаете, каждый день сигареты и так далее.
So the reason why he picked up running in the first place was after he stopped with the previous sport when he was 23, he gained a lot of weight, and he was basically drinking beer and smoking every day. And one day he decided to stop it.
Я на земле нашел бумажку с приглашением на пробежать 100 километров у нас в Литве, чемпионат Литвы. И я подумал, вот это будет моя цель, и я хочу пробежать 100 километров.
And then he picked up running, and just one day he found a piece of paper just lying around about a competition, about running 100 kilometers competition in Lithuania. And he said to himself that, well, that's my goal, and I'll prepare for that. And that's how his career has started.
Yeah, and Alexander, I've never heard of anybody, you know, that, you know, was drinking a lot and smoking a lot, and then, you know, within a couple, you know, years said, hey, you know, I'm going to take on these 100 kilometer challenges, I'm going to push my body to the extreme. You know, what kind of, how did you end up making that decision to go from one extreme side of life to the other? Have you always lived in extremes?
So if you have to do something, you have to do it on a maximum level. So either drink on a maximum level, or you do something else, or you run on the maximum level.
I guess hold on. Oh, I love that. So Alexander, that speaks volumes about your, so I'm a big fan of yours. And that tells me a lot right there, because when I watch you race, you know, me and all my friends in North America, you take off like a bullet. And it's amazing. It was, oh, there's Alexander. He's going again. And sometimes it doesn't work out for you. Sometimes you're going really fast and then you hit a wall. But other times, and most recently, it really has worked out for you. Have you always been a bit of a risk taker where you end up, you know, going hard into anything that you do?
Рискованно, так скажем, бегать, выступать.
Это, скорее всего, не риск, это, скорее всего, нехватка опыта. Я сейчас просто, наверное, медленнее бегу.
Yes, so it might sound that he is risk taking, but in reality, he refers to it as a lack of experience. That's why he was running very fast in the first competition, and right now he's trying to have a bit slower pace in the start, but rather keeping it throughout the race.
So we need and to.
I think he,
oh, sorry, go on.
Sorry, I think he wants to carry on with the answer.
Oh, go.
No, he's done. Sorry.
Okay. So just for everyone listening, just to give some context, I think if I calculate it right, it's a 6:44 pace, 6:44 a mile for the 100 miles. Thinking of that being slow is sort of interesting, but not really slow. I think that the question, you know, given your background, I think to stay at that pace for that long, you have to actually be as mentally strong, because it's an effort, a real effort. You don't really get to take a break at all. I mean, and so tell us a little bit about, you know, how hard it is to hold that pace for that period of time, and how are you feeling throughout that?
Чувствовал себя, как ты к этому ментально подходил?
Для меня соревнования это как, я не знаю, как бой, как война. И поэтому я пытаюсь отвлечься от всех, ну, таких негативных мыслей. У меня одна цель, я на нее иду. И я даже не знал, смогу ли я пробежать его. Я просто посчитал среднюю скорость мирового рекорда и пытался бежать чуть-чуть быстрее. И я даже не знал, смогу ли я продержать все до конца, но так вышло, что смог и получилось победить.
So he expands also on the previous question at the same time. So every competition for him is like a battle, or more like he refers to it as a war, and he tries to abstract, get away mentally from all the, so really focus on the run itself. And he also says that he was not sure about if he could actually do this race. So he says he went all in, and by running this fast, so to say. So he basically took the average pace that would be needed for, yeah, break the record. And he basically attempted running it for the whole race.
That's good.
That's excellent. Yeah, and so Alexander, on social media, Zach Bitter was very, very congrats of your victory. And, you know, here in North America, Zach Bitter is a running god. He's incredible, and he continually gets better year after year. Do you have any words for Zach? You know, he was really full of grace when he ended up finding out that his world record, the 100-mile world record, was broken. Do you have any messages for Zach? Maybe to spur him on to break your world record, so then you could break maybe his?
Я понял, что он очень хороший человек, потому что он поддерживал меня во время бега. Мне сказали, что он писал комментарии, что давай, давай, Александр.
So, first of all, he really wants to thank Zach for his support, and he says he really mean it, because he was told during the race that Zach was really supporting him and really commenting and encouraging him to run and really keep the pace. And he says that, well, and he hopes that Zach is not feeling bad about it, because, well, in the end, he broke his record. But he's really thankful for Zach's support throughout the race.
Yeah, that's great. And I think that's one of the special elements of the ultra running community. It's competitive and supportive at the same time. There aren't a lot of sports that find, you know, the pleasure in others doing great. And I think it probably comes from how difficult the sport is, that you just have a deep respect for whomever it is, because they have to push so hard that you're just happy for a person who could do that. And I think Zach is a good example. You know, Jim Walmsley this year tried to break the 100-kilometer record and just missed it by a few seconds. And, you know, the support that, you know, he had throughout that race before and after, and even how he looked at just missing the record was part of, I think, the, you know, the decorum or the way that we feel about the sport. You know, so you're, Alexander, now, you know, one of the people who will be, you know, in the top of the sport for quite some time. And, you know, your sort of way about you seems like you fit well. You know, when you're out running that hard, you know, tell us a little bit about the training that you do to get ready. And is it, you know, track workouts, road workouts, how many miles a week? What is your typical training?
В этом году из-за пандемии я не работал, и поэтому у меня было очень много времени на подготовку. То есть я себя чувствовал как профессиональный спортсмен. Я только занимался бегом и кушал, спал, и больше почти ничего не делал.
И... So this year, due to pandemics, he did not work, and basically that made him feel like a professional athlete. So what he was basically doing is preparing training, running, eating, and sleeping, so that, again, make him feel like a professional athlete.
Я пусть как к марафону, то есть только, наверное, больше километраж делаю. Пиковые недели были примерно 260 километров, не очень много по нынешним меркам. 260 километров.
Okay, I hope I get this right. So he basically says that the preparation is basically similar as the preparation for the marathon. It's just, of course, the amount of run kilometers is a bit bigger. In terms of the amount of kilometers run per week, if I get it right, so he says it's 260 per week. And he, again, kilometers, not miles, 260 kilometers and miles. Yes. He mentioned, and he said that that's probably not much if I got him right. But at the same time, he was also doing gym 3 times a week. Yes.
We can see that in your shoulders. You've got more muscular shoulders than the rest of them.
Yeah. Yeah, actually, just like, I always try and translate for the American audience. So 260 kilometers would be 161 miles a week. And I'm, you know, if you're running that's a lot of miles a week. I think we're a little more than 20 miles a day. So we're getting a lot of miles in our legs and going to the gym, even if you have time away from work, it's still a lot. So great training. And so let's talk a little bit about the race. I think, you know, we hear that you walked in knowing what the record is, and how did it feel when you started? You know, did you feel really good? Were you like mentally ready, physically ready? Did you struggle at all during the race? Of course, it's going to be hard. We know that. Explain a little bit how you felt from beginning to the end.
Yes. So he says that it started as usual, and there was no problem with keeping the pace in the start. And he says that usually this race, and usually in his other races, he has this crisis at the middle, because he mentally struggles thinking that, okay, I have run half of it, and well, I have to another half in front of me. So that was a mental challenge for him this time as well.
Yeah, до конца, примерно до финиша, не знал, смог побить рекорд или нет. Только когда остался час, я уже примерно посчитал, что я смогу примерно.
Yes, and right about the time, about this crisis time, then the pain in the leg starts, and slowly some sort of panic, you know, comes to his mind, because he do really not know if he can make it, meaning, well, breaking the record or not. And he's saying that prior to 1 hour until the finish. Race to finish, he was not really sure if he could do it. And only when the 1 hour left, he, well, mentally calculated, of course, that he could do it. So he was not sure. And again, he was a bit kind of panicking, and together with all this pain, it was pretty hard in the second part of the race.
Когда уже добавить к 100 милям еще 12-часовой рекорд. И я вначале был в шоке, думаю, не, рекорда. Потом посчитал, что мне всего лишь надо за 45 минут, 5 минут и за...
Yes, so he refers back to that point when the 1 hour left, and he actually couldn't make it. And that make him feel a bit better, I mean, mentally feel better, and actually continuing, so to say, well throughout the end of the race. But at the same time, in the last hour, he was given this piece of paper when one of the supporters gave to him, saying, okay, if you keep the same pace, you could break the 12 hours record. And first of all, he was saying, no, I really, really don't want to do it. I'm okay with 100 miles. But then he again thought about it, that he only needs, if I remember correctly, 8 kilometers, 28 kilometers in 45 minutes, if I remember correctly. And then he said that he would, even though he was first said kind of no, then he said, okay, I'm gonna feel bad through the rest of my life if I won't do it. So that's why he continued to pursuing the 12 hours as well.
So Alexander, that feeling, that one moment when you pass by the 100 mile mark, and in the next 5 minutes that went through your mind, that must have been hard, to know that you still had another, what was it, 45 minutes still left to run, and your legs, there was probably nothing left in your legs. How did you get through the next 45 minutes?
Breaking the record gave him a boost to keep running. Of course, the pace has dropped, and he remembers kilometers, 5 minutes per kilometer. Now I think I'm confusing, 5 minutes per kilometer. Mm-hmm. But still, that allowed him to break the 12 hours record as well.
That's still a good pace at any time. So that's, yeah, I think actually, and Dave, you sort of picked up on this point. In my sort of running career, I'm just a runner. I'm not a, athlete like you guys. I've always thought that the time or the distance was what got us to where we had to go. And if you signed up for a 50K, you didn't want to run a 50 miler that day. If you signed up for a 50 miler, you didn't want to run a 100K that day, because whatever you agreed to is what the mind set its goal at. So the idea of passing what the goal is and to keep going is really difficult. There's as hard of a mental challenge, even if you're slowing down, because you've put everything out to get to that moment. So that's pretty amazing. And when you slowed down to your whatever 5 minutes, you were just still doing a 25-minute 5K. That's an 8-minute pace. That's still a pretty good clip for most runners, especially at that time. So you finish, and now you have these two records, at least as you would know it. It's always a hard question to answer, but how did you feel then? Like, what was it like? Because, is it like this amazing, like, oh my God, I just broke all these world records, or I'm just exhausted, give me a chair, I want to sit down.
Мировой рекорд. И мне казалось, что будет какие-то вау ощущения, что адреналин и там эндорфины будут выделяться. На самом деле, когда заканчиваешь эту дистанцию, это как, не знаю, ну, окей, я закончил.
Работа. So during the training, to the championship, he was thinking, okay, what would happen if I would be able to break the record? And he thought that, well, probably going to be a big wow feeling, and it would be great, so to say. But this time when he actually did that, he said, okay, right, so we broke the record, fair enough, so let's just move forward.
Wow. And now a few That's days incredible. Later, do you feel like, okay, you're past being exhausted, do you feel like this is pretty amazing accomplishment some number of days later?
Как ты изменился в отношении? Такое чувство успокоения. То есть, да, ты достиг этого, и как бы камень упал, вышло такое, как satisfaction, как-то, даже на русском не знаю, как сказать. И это приятно еще.
So he basically describes this feeling after, well, several days after the championship as a relief. So he made plan A, basically achieving all what he wanted for the race. So now he feels, after these several days after the race, he feels relieved.
Alexander, do you put a lot of pressure on yourself?
So his answer is yes. He is actually is feeling a bit nervous before the starts. He talks not specifically about this one, but in general about the starts. He feels a bit nervous and usually sleeps not very well, even though he's trying to calm himself by saying, okay, this is just a competition. So, right.
And Alexander, your trajectory is up and up and up. Only in 2017, you started having really big wins. And since then, in 2019 and now in 2021, you're the world's best. If there's one, there's an ultra runner that we all know, Yannis Kyrgios. And I think that both you and I would agree that he's a god. He's a running god. And he's incredible. His world records seem to be untouchable. But Alexander, if there's any one runner in the world right now that I think that could come close to his 24-hour world record of 303 kilometers, it's you. Do you think that one day you could break Yannis Kyrgios' 24-hour world record?
До этого года даже не думал, что можно как-то приблизиться, чувствую резервы.
So he's thinking about it. He was thinking about it previously as well. And prior to 2019, he was thinking that this record is really untouchable, as you referred to yourself. But after 2019, he thinks that, well, maybe if not breaking it, it's still possible to get closer to it. And he feels that he has capacity to do it.
Yeah, you know what's amazing? And so, yeah, we've talked about Yannis many times, and his records have been standing for a long time, but so have many other of the ultramarathoning, you know, distances and these fastest known times. And it seems like over the past couple of years, the fitness level of the performers in the sport is getting to almost a ridiculous level. You know, the speed of a 50 miler feels like a marathon distance now. And, you know, we're going at the 2 hour mark in the marathon, and, you know, the fitness is, I think, incredible. Do you think it's the fitness that's getting better, the training, the mindset? Why is it over the past couple of years we're seeing this, and it seems not to have an end? It just seems like, you know, the next day someone's going to challenge some of these really long, hard distances at speeds that, like the 4-minute mile years ago. Is it a similar, like we were all capable but weren't mentally strong? What do you think, Alexander? Where is the difference? Better training, mental, food?
Yeah. So he says it's a really good and hard question to answer, but he answers it in two parts. So he says, well, the way it works, as he thinks, if there is an example, meaning that someone runs at specific pace, for example, then obviously other people would try to follow this example, meaning running at the same pace or faster. And this way you kind of think the levels or improving the levels in the competitions. And second part, he answers that, yeah, probably that's the mental approach changed. And hence, for example, he refers to the Kyrgios records, saying that, well, if he was able to run so many kilometers in the competition, then meaning that probably other people can do it as well. So it means that something mentally has changed approaching this the competitions.
Yeah, you know, go on, please.
Yeah, so he says that something mentally has to be done, changed, mental approach should be changed. So unless you don't believe that you can do it, then you won't do it. So you really have to believe in that prior to doing it.
Yeah, you know, it's sort of interesting because, you know, in other sports, there's equipment that changes, you know. So the golf game, you know, is completely different. You know, the people are swinging the club at a speed that was never before, but the equipment has changed. And in tennis, they're hitting the ball harder than ever. And, you know, in all different sport. And what's fascinating in running is, you know, the sneaker can only make so much of a difference. There's not much equipment to it. But in all of them, we're challenging the convention, you know, the sort of accepted practice of limits. You know, that's what we can do. And I think that that's what you're sort of getting at, Alexander, which is you sort of have to throw away the idea that there's some limit. Because really, we don't know what the physical limit of the body is yet. We haven't really fully explored it. And there is the way that the brain works is it's always protecting our system. And so it's often trying to discourage us from going to the physical capability that we have. And we let it win, you know, we let it stop us instead of saying, oh, well, that's a signaling system. That's just, it's not real. You know, I'm not really, look at you now, right? You're sitting here, you know, you might be a little bit sore, but, you know, you're feeling pretty good and you ran that hard and that fast. And so that recovery, I think, is always living proof that we haven't gone too far. Like if you were laying in a hospital bed for the next 6 months, we'd say, oh, maybe that was too much. But I don't think we've come close in a sense. And that's exciting. Just needs people like you and Dave and others to say, I'm going to find out how this, I always call it a system, you know, how this system, our body works, because it's physically capable. Now we just get the mental line. Of course, training and all the other things have an effect on that, but it's a very exciting time for, I think the running community is going to see a lot of records this year. be broken as we come out of the pandemic. So, you know, Dave is running next weekend. I think we're on for next weekend, Dave. You're going for the...
Yeah, on Friday.
So, Dave is
running. Alexandra. Oh. Yeah, Alexandra. So, I'm going to be running across the province of Alberta. So, I live up here in Canada. And my province, right now, we can't travel between provinces and provinces. So, you can't go across the country. You can't travel because of the pandemic. And our numbers are really quite bad here in Canada. And so, you know, I was supposed to run across Canada, which was 7,200 kilometers. And I wanted to do that in under 72 days. But, you know, I've got the fitness and, you know, I want what I'm going to do on the weekend in 3 days from now, or when we air this, it's going to be that same day, is I'm going to take a baby stroller and just run the entire province all in one run, which is 537 kilometers in just one shot. And so, Alexander, my question to you, and I want to do it in under 72 hours. So my question to you is, do you have any advice for me? What would be something that you would do this week to approach getting, you know, gaining success this weekend? What's something that, you know, I've got you in my front row here. I got to ask you, what advice would you give me?
Yes, so just to be totally sure, you intend to run for in 72 hours.
Yes,
correct. So yeah, so on kilometer.
Don't do it.
Absolutely. Yeah, it sounds like hell, doesn't it? It's gonna be a long run. Yeah. Yeah.
Absolutely.
I think it's really crazy when the guy who just broke the 100-mile world record tells me that I'm crazy. I don't know what's weirder there. So no, that's great stuff. So Alexander, you know, we were talking to Joe Fijas, you know, a number of months ago, and he's an incredible 6-day runner, really great ultra runner from the United States. And we were going on about Yannis Kyrgios, and we were talking about Yannis Kyrgios' career and how he ended up running, I believe it was 24-hour races. And on the 24th one, that's when he broke the 300-kilometer mark. So this was his life's work, that he ended up learning and doing better and better and better and better and better. And finally, 24-hour race later, he ended up making the world record that we all are amazed with now. Do you see that might be in your future where it comes to 24-hour racing or 100-mile racing, that you're going to be chipping away and getting better and better and better? Is that something that's in the future for you?
Yannis Kyrgios побил рекорд. И как ты думаешь?
В 24 часах, потому что у меня на суток.
So he will attempting 24 hours. While his results are improving, he also wants to find his own limits in this distance. And he said that he was not aware, actually, that Kyrgios did it in 24th attempt. So that's actually new to him. And he says that, well, he has run seven times, if I got it right, so far. So if you count 24 attempts, that's still a lot of attempts in front.
You've got 18 more times to run.
Well, hope for you that you do it in less than 18 more times. You know, but I think that what is, you know, so fascinating is that, you know, this discipline in ultra running is that, you know, as we sort of get older, we're actually getting better. It's one of the few sports, I think, not as impactful to sport as it used to be. I think, you know, before I was 30 years old, you were done in any sport. And we've had on the podcast, you know, 55-year-olds who are, you know, world champions in sports that they're competing against 30-year-olds. So I don't think that the age, if we can stay healthy and work it, but it takes the thing that I've found, because I'm probably the older one on this podcast, is that you have to keep working it. The time off doesn't help you, you know, because the recovery is different when you're 25 versus 45. At that age, you don't want recovery because the body sort of starts to go into too much rest. So I think that is going to be part of how we see improvement, which is sort of breaking a lot of the norms, which is that you have to just stick with it. And the more you stick with it, now it means some, you know, modest, like we'll call it recovery runs, you know, like, but time off isn't a friend as you age into this. So you have plenty of time as long as you mentally are good to stick with it. Body responds very well. Dave knows this. I'm a couple of days away from, it's not that big of a deal, but I ran 500 days in a row, at least 10 miles a day. And so I haven't taken off a day. And then I've been doing other, you know, physical activities, pull-ups, push-ups, sit-ups, all that every day for 500 days. And I found that the only real hard part was my mental state, not the physical. It actually got to a point where it's easy to run 10 miles. That's not a lot. It's not like doing, you know, it's maybe 80 or 90 miles a week. But what I found fascinating through that experience was I got physically stronger and then had to work through the mental barriers. So for you, do you have, you know, some that you use on the mental side to think about, you know, how you'll, you know, what is it that you can hold on to that makes you sort of stay strong? Because clearly you're physically strong enough to get, even breaking 11 hours is within probably the realm of possibility for you.
Ну, я чувствую себя еще слабым, потому что любые мелочи меня начинают во время бега раздражать, если там что-то плохо, что-то болеть. Я не умею контролировать боль, как некоторые говорят. Надо учиться этому делать. И я не знаю, как. Это сложно. Каких-то таких приемов я тоже не имею. Ну, я пытаюсь, конечно, представить, что я лечу, у меня крылья.
So actually, on contrary, he's saying that he has a hard time coping with mentally with the issues. For instance, he was talking about that when during his running, when he runs and he has some pain somewhere, it really irritates him and he really has a hard time coping with such issues mentally. And he says that, well, some people may believe that he has some kind of power to deal with, for instance, pain, but he really doesn't have this, have any tricks to deal with it. He says that, well, sometimes he imagines he has wings and he, well, flies when he runs. And he says, well, sometimes it helps, but it also sometimes it just doesn't help.
Amen.
Yeah, I hear you. Yeah. No, so Alexander, when it comes to North American runners, you know, a lot of North American runners don't know a lot about you. And if you could tell our audience one thing that might surprise them about, you know, Alexander the runner, you know, is it your, you know, we were just talking about mental strength, or is it, you know, the fact that you work really hard in your training, or your diet is specific, and you're a vegan, or you're keto, a lot like Zach Bitter, or something that might surprise our audience. Is there any one thing that you could tell us that might make sense of why you were able to do the incredible things that you can do?
Я до 19 года я сказал, что лучшее восстановление для это скушать литр мороженого, но сейчас подготавливаем тренирование.
I think he might have misunderstood the question, but he says something in that direction as well, that he changes his methodologies approach on preparing for the competitions. So for example, prior to 2019, he was saying, well, the way he prepares for the competitions by eating a lot of sweet stuff. For example, he could eat nearly one kilo of ice cream. But after 2019, he changed his approach and he cut down on the sweet stuff and actually managed to drop a lot of weight. And now he says that actually sweet stuff is bad. Mm-hmm. Maybe I should get your question back to him, because he might misunderstand the exact thing you're
absolutely
asking.
Please do.
О себе ты мог сказать, чтобы люди узнали тебя побольше, не из персональной жизни, а именно из тренировок, что-то особенное. Допустим, ты ешь как-то что-то особенное, или там ты вегетарианец, или каким-то образом тренируешься. Какой-то один интересный факт. Yes. So again, he was struggling to find something to talk about. But he said, for example, his body and he managed to adapt both to different trainings and to different eating. For example, half a year he used to for half a year eating only fruits. I'm not sure how that's correctly said in English. Fruit.
Yeah.
Basically, eating only fruits for a half a year, wow. And he really liked it. And then for some time he used to eat a lot of sweet stuff. Again, a lot of ice creams, for example. And he also liked that. And right now he, for example, as he mentioned before, he stopped eating sweet stuff at all. And he also likes that. And he makes another example with the training. So for example, for the spartathlon competition, he used to run, he used to train very flat. So he's no accelerations during trainings, no sprinting. So just running, so to say, in a flat pace all the time. But this time, he was training a bit differently for this competition, running some, there were some faster trainings, which he would used to run faster, but at the same time, he would run with less kilometers per week. And it still kind of managed to help him, this change of methodology.
Nice. Yeah, I think that whatever you're doing, it's working. So we're happy for that. You know, I think that we always like to sort of end the podcast with the idea of what's, you know, the future hold for someone like you. And I think as the world gets to know about Alexander, it's going to be really fun to watch you continue to go after some of these amazing records. And maybe we'll, once the pandemic's over, get you racing in North America and having some fun. But before we ask the Chasing Tomorrow question, and just one other was, you know, we've always sort of focused on this backyard style format, you know, which is you run every hour on the hour the 4.167 miles. Have you ever considered that format, Alexander? You know, the format we're talking about?
Yes. So he wants me to translate it, but I also heard about this format, this backyard format, when you run
4.167 miles per hour. You start at the top of the hour and you run, and whatever time you have remaining, you rest. And then at the top of the hour, you start. And then it ends when the last person runs the last loop.
Right. So he's not aware about this, okay. Matt.
Okay. Well, we'll introduce him to it. Dave is very at it, and it's growing in its interest level amongst the top ultra runners in the world. So we'll recruit
Alexander. What I'll do, Alexander, is I'll send you a private message and I'll send you a video of it. It's at Lazarus Lake down in Tennessee, the same as Barkley Marathons. And you know, he puts on these incredible events, and Johann Steen and Courtney DeWalter, they've all become quite good at it. If you're good at 24-hour racing, you're really good at backyard racing. So, you know, I'll send you a video and hopefully I can get you into doing something like that, because I think you'd be really, really good at it.
Yes. So then, so we'll end up, Alexander, what is your Chasing Tomorrow? What does the next year sort of hold for you?
Я не задумываюсь очень далеко о будущем, особенно в это время, когда такие времена настали, где все меняется очень быстро. Наверное, самый главный старт, наверное, будет чемпионат мира. Него.
Yes, so he doesn't plan for a future that much, especially with this current times. But his intention is to run the next world championship in Romania, and he hopes that it will happen.
Well, we wish you the best.
Here's hoping.
Congratulations, Alexander, for such an amazing accomplishment. Thank you for being on the show. Maxim, thanks for so much for doing the translating. Really appreciate that. You did a great job. And it's just really nice to get to know you. So thanks and best of luck. And we'll talk again when you break the next world record.
Thank you very much.
Absolutely.
Thank you, guys.
Thank you, Alexander. Thanks, Maxim.
Thank you.
Well, Dave, that was an amazing interview. I think we did quite well with the translations. It was a good thing we had Maxim there to help us. He was really in the conversation. Love that. And you know, if numbers speak for themselves, then Alexander's are all the proof we need. 3 world records in a day, and it feels like he's just getting going. I love that we had a real serious conversation about Janos and his records. It is possible Alexander will be the first to truly challenge them. It's going to be great to see what he can do in the coming years. And hey, everyone, cheer for Dave this coming weekend as he goes to break the FKT for running across Alberta. We're going to be there supporting him and having conversations as he goes along, and we'll be telling you about it in about a week's time. Well, there you have it. That's a wrap for this week. As always, a big shout out to our sponsor, Performance Tea. You can find them on www.performancetea.com, and they've given us a discount code for all of our listeners to get 20% off their purchase. Just use Chasing20 at checkout. And we'd greatly appreciate it if you could follow us on Instagram and give us a review on Apple Podcasts. That would just be awesome. And as always, a huge thanks to our listeners for coming with us on this journey and chasing tomorrow with us. Thanks.